This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Currently allows free market practices that let insurers compete, and more regulations would cause rates to go up. The Illinois High School Boys Basketball State Finals are staying in Champaign for a while. The IHSA Board of Directors has announced a five-year contract extension, keeping the Boys Basketball Finals at the State Farm Center through 2029. More at NowDecatur.com.
Death and destruction in Oklahoma. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
See it on TV, other places, and you feel bad for those people, but you really don't know it till it's you, till it hits you.
He and many other home and business owners don't have much left in the city of Sulphur, one of several areas twisted apart by weekend tornadoes. Fox Weather's Brandi Campbell's there.
Where we are, at least one person was killed in a bar, with several people also trapped inside. Two more lives were taken in Holdenville, one being a four-month-old baby, and a fourth person killed on I-35 near Marietta. The damage spans across 12 counties here in Oklahoma.
There's also a death amid the storm damage in Iowa. Parts of Nebraska also have tornado destruction. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Saudi Arabia before another trip to Israel for talks.
The only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas.
This after Israel hit Rafah with airstrikes, killing at least 22 Palestinians ahead of a planned ground invasion going after Hamas militants. But Blinken hopes that doesn't happen.
In the absence of a plan to ensure that civilians will not be harmed, we can't support a major military operation in Rafah.
This is the anti-Israel protests rage on American college campuses. That's at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Police made arrests this morning at Virginia Tech, and four police officers were injured at demonstrations in New Orleans in California.
A pro-Israel rally went off as scheduled here at UCLA, but it was met with counter-protesters who came to demonstrate in support of an ongoing pro-Palestinian encampment on campus. Eventually, some, quote, physical altercations broke out after one of the groups breached a barrier designed to keep the two protests separate.
Fox's Christina Coleman. Former President Trump posted on Truth Social this morning, "Stop the protests." A new CNN poll gives him a 6-point lead over President Biden, a 9-point Trump edge, factoring in independent candidates. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. Are you still on the fence about owning gold? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. The Oxford Gold Group are the pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD.
All right, who's there for heroes or their families left behind when a service member or a first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless vets? I'll tell you who. It's the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month. Just go to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org, the letter T, number 2, letter T.org, for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
We mentioned that new CNN poll giving former President Trump a 6-point lead over President Biden ahead of their 2024 rematch. The former president will not be in court today. It's an off day at his first criminal trial in New York. Same thing Wednesday when he will campaign in Michigan and Wisconsin. Over the weekend, he met with one of his former opponents.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has apparently agreed to bury the hatchet with his former rival in the GOP presidential primary, Donald Trump. Sources telling the New York Post that the two met in Miami Sunday to discuss what DeSantis can do to help Trump's 2024 presidential campaign. Reports say DeSantis has agreed to hit the campaign trail for the former president. Insiders also telling the New York Post that Governor DeSantis would help with fundraising, tapping his donor network to raise money for the general election against President Biden. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Today, Vice President Harris will go campaign in Atlanta, touting the Biden economic agenda. On Wall Street, stock futures rising, coming off the best week of the year for the Nasdaq, surging up more than 4%. In the NBA, Minnesota sweeps Phoenix out of the playoffs with a 122-116 game 4 win. The Timberwolves advance to the second round for the first time in 20 years. In other games,
behind a career playoff high 47 points from Jalen Brunson, the Knicks beat the 76ers in Philadelphia 97-92 to take a 3-1 lead. The Clippers, who led the Mavericks by 31 points in the first half Sunday, watched watched Dallas come all the way back to take the lead before the Clippers regained control and held off Dallas 116-111 to even their series 2 games apiece. Without both Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard because of injuries, the Milwaukee Bucks fell behind 3-1 against the Indiana Pacers. Miles Turner scored 29 points Sunday. Indiana beat Milwaukee 126-113.
That's Fox's Jared Max. On the ice, the New York Rangers completed a sweep of the Washington Capitals. Colorado, Edmonton, and Vancouver were also winners last night. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Coach House Garages, designed to fit your life, budget, and dreams. Built on generations of Amish craftsmanship with the best warranty in the industry, where service is more than a promise, it's a guarantee. Their custom-built buildings have been turned into all kinds of spaces, from garden sheds and pool houses to workshops and guest houses. The possibilities are endless. You can count on Coach House to listen to your needs and create the perfect building to fit your vision. For more information, visit CoachHouseGarages.com.
Join us on May 4th from 12 till 5 p.m. at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater for an exciting Decatur Park District Arts Jamboree. Unleash your creative side as you paint pots, create art, make friendship bracelets, shop the plant sale, preview arts programs, and more. Be sure to mark your calendars and gather your friends and family for a day full of artistic enjoyment at the Arts Jamboree. For more information, visit DecaturParks.org or visit our Facebook page.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Showers and thunderstorms, high of 72. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 51. For Tuesday, sunny with a high of 76. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, then sunny, high near 80. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 60 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06.
Good morning and happy Monday. We're back here in the studios. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will be with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Plus Dr. Juanita Morris. A little later today, the Boy Scouts. Chuck, company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Do you remember that movie, The Night Shift?
Yes.
With, really?
Yeah.
1982. How old were you?
I was either two or three, depending on what month it was.
Henry Winkler, his post-Fonzie days, and the first time I think I saw Michael Keaton in a movie. And they played, they worked in a morgue that they turned into a brothel with the gal from Cheers, Shelley, whatever her name was.
Long.
Huh? Yeah.
Shelley Long.
Shelley Long. Thank you very much. Girl Scouts of America, Chuck. Remember that line. It's great. Good morning. How are you?
I remember the title of the movie, but I don't remember anything.
Directed by Ron Howard, one of his first movies.
Wow.
So you had the Ron Howard Fonz connection, and you had a very young Michael Keaton. I think his character's name was Billy Blaze, and it was a funny, funny movie.
Well, you have an amazing memory.
Most of that was literally off the top of my head.
That's what's... You know, maybe you're hitting that age where you remember stuff from a long, long time ago, like, but not yesterday.
Yeah. Well, certainly could be the case. Certainly could be the case. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Dreary.
To you.
Yeah, it is. Sunshine.
It is dreary.
No wind. That wind was stupid yesterday.
You know, we have had a lot of that.
I know.
Right? Like, we live in West Texas now, and it is literally just seems like a...
And I did live in West Texas in the Panhandle in Amarillo when I was right out of college, and the wind... Always blew.
We were the weather bunny back then.
I was actually the news person. I just had to do a little, I was the like extra weather person.
With the magnets.
Yeah, magnets.
It's like you had like the big guy blowing to show you the wind, right?
And I always had him going the wrong way. Bad. The meteorologist would come in and be nice, but.
Do you ever miss your career in TV?
Absolutely not.
Not at all?
No.
There's nothing about it you miss.
No. Not really at all. I mean,
now have you been not doing it long enough that people don't necessarily associate you with that as much?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people weren't alive yet.
Yeah, but when you were doing TV,
People watch TV.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. It was a big deal.
I mean, you were known.
Yeah, and people would recognize you when you didn't have makeup on and you were just running into the grocery store. It's like, hey, 2 miles away, aren't you that news lady? No, that's my sister. So
is that what you do?
Yeah.
All right.
A couple of times.
So when you were a senior in high school, mm-hmm. paint the picture for me. Where were you?
Mattoon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You were thinking about this?
I don't know. I had always wanted to go into some sort of journalism. I really wanted to.
What made you? I mean, what was the spark for
this,
that?
You are just going to think this is stupid.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
I had a wild crush on Robert Redford.
Okay.
Like, I was just madly in love with him. I mean, I'm talking seventh grade.
Yeah.
Okay. And my sister is a little bit older than me, and she had her Cosmopolitan magazine, and there was, you know, an interview, a one-on-one with Robert Redford. And I thought, if you get to do that, then I want to be the publisher of Cosmopolitan magazine.
Cosmopolitan.
That was the one.
Lofty.
It wasn't like 16 or Teen Beat. It was, you know, a real legitimate magazine. And I chickened out of doing that. I had looked at going to Mizzou.
Great journalism school.
It is the very best in the world. Ask anybody who went there, because we're very snotty about it.
Yes. But
they call it the Missouri Mafia, and it's
really
serious.
You and Michaela Hunt.
Uh-huh, bet. Absolutely. But I chickened out of going there, went to Millikan for 2 years as a business major, and realized that was really not
your thing.
And got an, for Christmas my sophomore year, my parents got me an electric typewriter that had like an autocorrect.
Yeah.
And I had to pull a 4 point for the second semester at Millikan to bring my grades up high enough to get into Mizzou's journalism school. So I took every literature course there was.
Got it.
Women in literature, literature of the Holocaust.
Yeah. Oh.
And yeah, I mean, I had all of them and pulled my 4 point, got in summer school and started down there. So.
Okay. So did you fall in love with Robert Redford, in All the President's Men? I mean,
Bush Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid. Okay. So it wasn't even the journalism movie. It was the cowboy movie.
Oh, he was so cute.
You use enough dynamite there, Butch.
Oh,
yeah,
there
that's
you go.
That guy. What was that stupid movie he did with Jane Fonda, The Electric Horseman? Remember that?
Didn't he do the really lovely romantic one with her, too? Not with Jane Fonda, with Barbara Streisand.
The way we were.
Yeah. Oh, that was lovely.
All right. I'm trying to make all this stuff connect.
It's
okay. So you go to Mizzou, you get out. What's your first TV job?
KVII in Amarillo, Texas, where they didn't have teleprompters. And
so what did you do?
They didn't even have music. It was real news. And they also did not have a woman on the 6 and 10 o'clock news because people wanted their news from men.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, it was rough.
So you were a news person that mm-hmm. filled in for the weather.
Right. I did the morning news.
Okay.
And because it was okay to have women.
It was okay to have women in the morning.
And I was a photographer, and it was a one-man band type thing. And they really didn't want women in the newsroom. And in fact, they had a little funny organization, White Male Supremacy in Broadcasting.
And I'm sorry?
White Male Supremacy in Broadcasting. It was a little funny, alleged funny group.
WM. Whatever that stands. Yeah.
And anyway, they would give women who came in, because women just wanted to be, you know, TV stars. They weren't journalists, you know, not like we could write or interview or anything like that. So they would give the new girl the overnight shift. So I was on call with my camera every night when there was anything. We had a
string. How big was the camera?
Oh, it was huge, and it had a deck, and it was awful. It was like dragging that thing around. And one of them, they were so bad, you'd hold it up if it wouldn't work and drop it to get it not the camera, the deck.
Okay.
To make it roll. But we had a really good stringer system. So I got called out every time I was on call, you know.
And was that exciting? Like when you first started doing it?
Well, you have to be at work at 4 a.m, it's a little bit much. But yeah, it was really exciting. I loved it. But they would give you the police beat. They put you on call and courts and
scanners.
I slept with a scanner forever, you know, because it's weird because you will wake up when something major is happening.
Yeah.
And you just subconsciously don't get the other stuff. But no, I loved covering crime, and they had some really weird murders and murder trials, and it was so much fun. It really was. But I was made 6 and 10 o'clock anchor about a year after I started there. And
then they allowed it.
Well, the ratings had started to suffer because the NBC station across town had this lovely woman on who did the news
right.
at 6 and 10. And so they thought, oh, and so they put me on.
So they were incredibly noble in their endeavor.
Well, and, you know, they had gave me, I think, an extra quarter an hour because I was making $13,500 a year.
Oh, my God.
And working 60 hours because that's how you made enough money to eat was you had overtime.
Sure. Yeah.
But, yeah, and I was all they had, so they put me on the air. And, you know, I'm 23 years old with these old guys. God. And they tried to dress me up to make me look older, and they tried putting gray in my hair. I mean,
you're kidding.
I am not.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was fun.
You know what's funny is it hasn't changed. I think about all these years later, it's still so superficial.
Well, I don't know. It's different. It really is different now.
Really?
Well, do you remember about, gosh, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, they brought back some of us old people?
No.
And had us do 10 o'clock news?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My God. It was all electronic, and I'm panicking because I want paper because I know the iPad's going to go to sleep.
Okay, so walk me through this. I know there's probably more important things to talk about, but I'm fascinated. Walk me through this. They give you a call and they go, "We're gonna bring all the old folks back. We're gonna do like a this is a real world all star challenge. The veterans are coming back. Who all did they bring back?
Oh, they had Gail Simpson and me. When we took turns, we weren't on the same show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Lante, maybe?
Lante.
I'm Lante. But I'm trying to think who else might have come back. But it was, well, what was horrifying is, A, I haven't done this in a long time.
Right.
I'm on the 10 o'clock news. I'm usually asleep by 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, sure.
I go in to do this. I'm nervous because it's different. It's
it didn't
not like
feel sitting, like at home at all.
Well, but you weren't sitting down. You had to stand up, and then they keep you move around, and you do. And I'm
here.
Short,
hold this iPad.
So, yeah.
What and I for? I have no idea.
Or maybe fall off the box. But my children surprised me and came to the studio to watch. It was like, could this be any more awkward?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really happy to see them.
How did it go?
It went okay. They didn't give me very much to read. I don't think they trusted me. She's going to screw this up.
See, right back to being 23 years old.
There you go.
Full circle. All right. So
what's really bad is I actually anchored with Sean.
Yeah.
And he has not changed. He looks exactly the same as he did 25 years ago. I, however, have changed.
Okay. Were you with Sean?
Yeah. He was.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
I remember you, there were a couple of weird dudes.
Oh, we had, when I started out, Tom Green was my first anchorman.
Yeah.
And then there was a really weird guy, and he didn't last very long.
Yeah, what was his name?
Wes Sims.
Okay.
He was weird. Then Mike Browning came. Mike Browning was there for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then he left, and that's when Sean came on.
Okay.
And Sean, man, he was a natural. He's one of those guys. The camera loved him. It was like his first time on the evening news. He's just sitting there, and he's got that cute little dimply wink sort of thing going on. I thought, man, this guy, he's made for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Sean and I used to.
He worked for you, didn't he?
He worked for us before he went to WAND, which was before me. But we used to, when we did the food drive, back when WAND actually supported it, we had, we'd do a TV commercial, every year. And we'd stand in the parking lot of Kroger, and I swear to God, Sean would take 27 friggin' takes to do this commercial every single time.
Well, he wanted to get it right.
It wasn't teleprompter.
Well, there's a lot to be said for teleprompters.
Yeah. But a nice guy.
Except in the old days, we had these horrible manual typewriters, and you had to type within this one little box.
Right.
And a lot of reporters were not good about doing that, and they'd go over the line.
Yep.
So if you're reading something that's cold or you know, you haven't seen it,
right.
Hopefully you've practiced your scripts or something pops up, words go off the edge, and you can't see them. So the word "the" could be there. You know, it's like, what is this word?
I love it. You know, one of my favorite things we used to do when I was a kid. When I say a kid, I mean like a teenager plus. The WND crew would always be in Central Park for the Decatur Celebration.
No, I hated that.
And you would like take over the whole. What would that be? The north side of the park. Mm-hmm. big tent, everything. Mm-hmm. And there was a payphone right next to the WAND tent in Central Park.
I don't remember that.
We had the phone number for the payphone, and we used to call the phone number, and then somebody randomly would pick it up, and we told them we were with WAND, and they'd won a big prize. They needed to go talk to Bob Murray at the WAND tent.
You are awful.
And then watch it, because I had a friend who had an apartment right above the park. Like, we were like eyeballing it, and then we would watch all the and it was hysterical.
I like those kind of hijinks.
And then we would because the person would get turned away, and then we'd ring it again, and they'd pick it back up, and we go, no, really, that was just the first test, you know, you got to go. And we would just, oh, it was fun. Didn't you love just being on display down there?
No, it was creepy because, you know, you're on TV. You have
to put makeup
on. Well,
Sean got accosted later.
I know. And I mean, I was always a little concerned about that, but people would stand there and watch you put your makeup on. And it was like having people in your bathroom. Yeah. It was awful. And then, you know, I was used to being in the studio, not, you know.
You didn't like being out on the people?
Well, I like the people, but you're trying to do the news.
Yeah.
And you've got people behind you, and many of them have been drinking a lot.
Yeah, well, whoever thought that was a good idea?
I don't know, but I'm waiting for somebody to throw a beer at me.
Let's do live TV with a bunch of people behind us.
And there are bright lights and bugs, and I am terrified of flying bugs. And it's like they're dive bombing us. You've got people behind you. It's distracting. I mean, I was always just a mess. It was just a mess.
Oh, the heyday. Oh, the heyday. So it's different now.
It is. Well, everything's different, you know.
Yeah, but you lived the Anchorman. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, you literally got to live that movie.
I saw that movie. It made me nervous because it was a little.
It's not even really an exaggeration, right?
It's not at all. Yeah. Not really. Again, so glad there were not cell phones with the ability to record pictures or video. Yeah, you know. We wouldn't be sitting here today.
All right. So tell me about the time Jim Kimmons shared the story with me, guys, that you pre-taped the news because of an NFL game or whatever that might have been on, and then went to the wharf and
That's
ran into your boss.
Went to the wharf. Well, and
while the news was supposed to be on.
Well, and I don't think he noticed us at first, but the somebody hit a button, and it's pretty far into the newscast. And
yeah.
It's late, and it was rewinding on the air.
So you don't want to wait for the game to get over.
Well, it was late. My mother didn't stay up to watch that.
Pre-tape the news, put it on the air as if it's live, and then head to the wharf.
Well, yeah.
Where you run into, like, T.J. Vaughn's there.
No, it was Barry Gahagan.
Before T.J. Vaughn.
Yeah.
How did that go over?
It's fine. I don't think Barry noticed. We did. We all ran back to the studio waiting to be fired.
Would you trade the experience?
No, there's stuff you would have done differently maybe, but I mean, not record the newscast.
But it was a good.
Yeah, it was. It was. We had there were a lot of people. It was funny because it's like we would celebrate New Year's Eve. Like we used to have a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
And the next year, none of the people who came to our party would be there anymore.
It was constant turnover.
Yeah. So.
But it does give you flexibility, I think. Watch what your career. You go to the chamber. You work for economic development, state of Illinois. You move into the hospital role. You run for office. You're mayor of Decatur. Did you not get a lot of chops? It made you have to be like, I can think on my feet. I can be flexible. I can move. I can zig and zag. The media. Gives you a lot of things.
It does. And also the perspective of, you know, I was around a lot of politicians, you know, when I was in news, both in Texas and here. And, you know, you have a different outlook on them and what they're like when the camera's not rolling.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's like even being in here when you've had people on the air. And
if I ever write a book, it's about the 3 minutes that we're not on the air.
I mean, that's when you really see who people are.
Yeah. It's hard for people to understand that, but that's absolutely spot on.
Yeah, totally.
The conversations that we've had off the air, particularly even
screaming.
Over the last four years.
I was with you and a certain former state representative when you two were having a huge
I don't remember this.
Oh, it was – there were words flying that would have Shut the station down.
Hang on. Okay, who was this with?
Bill Mitchell.
Oh, really?
Yes, at the, you know, Kosovo. And, I mean, you're screaming at each other. I don't know why, but it was not good.
I don't have any recollection of that.
Oh, that's strange. How do you not remember this?
His
face was red. You were really mad. And I don't know why I was there. I don't know. I wouldn't have come in with Bill.
Now, was it uncomfortable for you, or were you?
Yes. I'm trying to be everybody's friend.
You know, you can't
separate
do
the
that.
Two of you, you know,
it's all good. I don't remember. I mean, I remember plenty of politicians screaming. I don't remember screaming back. Oh, the one time with Dan Calkins, it was so weird. Because he got up, during the break and Paul was in the studios, and Paul's like the gentlest guy you'll ever meet in your entire life. And Dan threw his headphones, like threw them and started to storm out. And I just like some mom from the third grade said, sit down. And he did. That was so strange.
Well, and Dan, you can have an all out battle with, and then he'll turn right around and be the nicest person in the world to you. You know, it's. Oh, fun.
It is fun. We should get the whole crew back. Who are your favorite people to work with?
Oh.
You know who I really liked was Christina Drew Marcus Rogers? No.
That's who married Michaela Hunt.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
They were great.
Good people.
Great people. She was adorable. Kit Kendi.
Yeah.
I think she works for a politician in Wisconsin or someplace. I met some really fun people over the years.
There were some really good people. You know, with TV, it was always kind of like you got the kids coming in, you know, working their way up the ladder, right?
Yeah.
If they had any talent, you kind of like, okay, well, they're not going to be here very long. They'll go to
the next. They used to stay a couple of years.
Yeah, but they go to the next market size, and that's fine. And it's also, you know, very interesting to who the GM is.
Yeah.
Like, we've had, like, great relationships, and then somebody comes in, and they just – like this Ricky dude, whatever, Ricky Bobby, whatever the hell his name was. I mean, he just hated us. I have no idea why.
Huh. Interesting. He retired a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah. I mean, to this day, I have no idea why.
Hmm. I got nothing. I don't know.
No, I wasn't asking. It's just weird how, like, somebody will land in town, you know, be here for the equivalent of 5 minutes, you know, compared to everybody else, and just make those decisions to burn bridges. I just never understood.
We had a guy named Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
Who was the general manager for a couple of years. And he thought the problem with WAND is that it was in Decatur. And so we weren't allowed to say Decatur on the air.
Huh?
We couldn't say the word Decatur.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Shrunk down the words. Like, you know, we have to have the disclaimer to where you couldn't read it.
Right.
But we would talk about things in a town 45 miles west of, you know.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. It was, and that went on for a year or two. That was in like 88, something like
that. How do these people get in charge? I don't know. It's mystifying to me being in the media world. And I assume that it's like this in banking or anything else. And you get like somebody that lands and you go, how did this guy get to like be this?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you stick around?
Yeah. Sure.
Stay here with Dr. Morris. We'll have fun.
This is
a perfect Monday conversation. we have Tupper, I think, if the phones are working. It is Monday, and we're going under new ownership Wednesday. Very strange story, too. But I want to find out because
you get paid.
I didn't even thought about that. Thanks. Jotting down notes here as we speak. Literally. Lindsay came up to you at one point and said she watched you growing up, and you gave her some sort of very disappointing answer.
Like, thanks a lot. Didn't make me feel old at all. But do you know that has happened to her?
I know.
It happened recently. She goes, I know how you felt. And I was just, you know, starry-eyed. And she said, and this girl came up to me and was talking to me about how she'd listened to, you know, me when she was growing up. And she goes, I felt so old.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens. You don't miss a beat. You're better today than ever. Mayor of Decatur, ladies and gentlemen. former, like, I just see her throwing that weather magnet up. Like, literally, they were magnets, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
with the old guy blowing the wind.
Well, that, and, you know, I had to, like, take a red marker and write the names of those states, like the square ones.
Really? Look,
my geography was pretty bad. But because the red marker wouldn't show up on the thing.
Ah. Uh-huh. That old green screen technology back in the day. The mayor's with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Dr. Juanita Morris will join us. We've got a lot to get to here, folks. A little bit later today, we'll tell you about what the Boy Scouts are up to. And don't forget to check out our photo gallery of the Blessing of the Bikes yesterday at Kazire on our Facebook page. Back with more after this.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now, brought to you by Jesse Heating and Air. Great products and great people, treating you the way you want to be treated since 1979. State Treasurer Michael Frerichs is urging the Federal Treasury to make it easier for states to facilitate the return of mature U.S. savings bonds. Frerichs says the state's unclaimed property program does not include U.S. savings bonds, and the federal government sells bonds that are exempt from being turned over to the state treasurer's unclaimed property department. But Frerichs says a lot of bonds are owned by African Americans because blacks couldn't fully participate in the banking system in the 1940s through 60s. Right now, the feds are arguing that there are concerns about fraudsters using info released on the state treasurer's website to claim the unclaimed property. Check out the photos from this weekend on the Now Decatur Facebook page, including the D-Town Throwdown Highland Games and the 32nd Annual Blessing of the Bikes. Again, you can find all of that on the Now Decatur Facebook page. And check out more stories, podcasts, and videos at NowDecatur.com.
News, I'm CJ Papa. Death and devastation in Oklahoma from a tornado.
At least one person was killed in a bar, with several people also trapped inside. Two more lives were taken in Holdenville, one being a four-month-old baby, and a fourth person killed on I-35 near Marietta. The damage spans across 12 counties here in Oklahoma.
Fox Weather's Brandi Campbell in Sulphur. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the capital, Saudi Arabia, urging Hamas to grab a ceasefire deal on the table.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel.
Secretary Blinken crediting Israel measurable progress humanitarian situation in Gaza, but wants it to do more. And former President Trump on Truth Social this morning, right? Stop the protests now. But students at GW University, they're not listening. America is listening to Fox News.
Spring is in the air. Might be time for spring cleaning. Do you or a loved one need help around the house? From light dusting or switching out seasonal clothes to get ready for spring, call Synergy Home Care to help. At Synergy Home Care, we understand that people are happiest and healthiest where they're most comfortable, in their own home. Call or search Synergy Home Care today to learn more.
Synergy Home Care, care for everyone.
Hi, JR from Speed Lube here again, reminding all of our clients how much we appreciate you and the services we provide that others may not. Here at Speed Lube, you have the choice to stay in your vehicle or wait in our lobby while we perform the service for you. Our full service includes a multi-point inspection that entails checking differential and transfer case fluids, along with all the other vital fluids underneath the hood. We also vacuum the floorboards, wash the exterior windows, and correct your tire inflation. All of this while providing a premium Pennzoil product. Thank you, Decatur and surrounding areas, for your 43-plus years of patronage. We look forward to seeing you again.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education to students in our area. Tickets are now on sale, and you can have a chance to win $100,000. Take advantage of special bundles by purchasing multiple tickets, increasing your odds of winning. The final drawing is May 24th. Buy your tickets today for a chance to win $100,000 by calling 875-7950 or online at sttmega.com.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Showers and thunderstorms, high near 72. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 51. For Tuesday, sunny with a high of 76. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, then sunny with a high near 80. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 60 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right. Fingers crossed. Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sport. Let's start with the NFL draft. Okay.
Maybe he can hear me. Mark, can you hear me?
Phones aren't working.
Okay. I'm going to do that. It's like some days, it's just 1996 all over again. Some days, it's not. All right. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf is in the studios with us here today. Good to have you with us. We're looking back on things and having a lot of fun. When did you leave WAND? 96, right?
I think it was 97.
No?
Well, yeah, because it was right before my daughter, my youngest, turned one, and she was born in 96.
Okay.
I went through the May ratings book and then started at the Chamber.
Okay. What made you get out and what made you go to the Chamber?
I had hit a point where, A, it was hard. Like, I would go to my son's baseball games and don't touch me because I had to go back and do the news and I couldn't get dirty.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it was, and when you do the news in a town this size, bad things happen and they start happening to people you know. And so there were some, you know, rough things that had happened and hard to get through. And then not being able to.
What do you mean by that? I'm not mean specifically by naming a person, but.
Okay. We knew that there had been an accident where a child had died.
Yeah.
And I found out as we went on the air who it was as a friend. And it was just
hard to
separate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you remember when the little girl, Sarah, was missing? Her mom came to the studio with a VHS tape saying, please find my child.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't, you know, you can talk about things, but I just had not found a way to make a difference really. And going to the Chamber, it was something else where I could try and make the city better instead of just talking about it.
But it was a big shock for everybody.
Well,
no, I mean, you changed careers, you know, when you were as big as it gets, you know.
Well, and
I mean, you weren't Bob Murray big, but you were big.
But I had my babies on the air, which people didn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like kind of the London-esque thing. So did I ever tell you about when I had my first child and people were at Decatur Memorial looking for me? And we had a no visitors
thing.
Yeah, well, of course they were.
No, but I mean, but listen, that
people were, and he took like 2 days to be born and people kept calling. They had to run a crawl and go like say, please stop calling the hospital.
Right.
Nobody else can get through. And so, and I wasn't going to talk to people. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm in labor now for 2 days. So, and then my sister brought her kids to see the baby and gets like off the elevator and there's, you know, the nursery.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of people there.
Just hanging out.
Had nothing to do with the hospital.
Yeah.
And Debbie was like, get that baby out of the window.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So, yeah.
So with TV though. That's sort of what you get, right?
It is. I mean, and people feel like they know you, and that's a huge compliment.
Sure.
They, you know.
The hardest thing in life to explain to someone that doesn't do this is that people come up to you with such familiarity mm-hmm. that you assume you should know who they are.
Right.
Because they approach you. I mean, a perfect stranger, it turns out, approaches you with one side of the equation of like really feeling like they know you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you go, why am I not recognizing this person? I can't think of a name. And you find out you've never met them before ever.
Well, and, you know, try to teach your kids stranger danger when strangers come up to you all the time. We had, this is true story. We were at Decatur Celebration. Doug had to be out of town for some reason. You couldn't get babysitters.
Yeah.
Okay. In the early 90s during Decatur Celebration, we couldn't.
Everybody
just couldn't.
Yeah.
And I had to work and I had like a couple hours break and I was with a friend and her kids and people kept coming up wanting to hold my baby.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my, I had to hand off Hannah to my friend's husband and have him carry her and, you know, because sure, take my baby. That's a good idea. I've never seen you before. You washed your hands. You've been drinking. Yeah. Why don't you hold my baby? Good idea.
Hey, baby. I remember the size of that tent. I mean, you guys got like a half of Central Park.
Well, it was a big deal.
It was.
And we had, the first ones that we did, we had to interview people. You know, remember the street artists and things? I had to interview somebody for a full minute who painted pictures of Jesus on a piece of rice. Now, you can't show, it doesn't show up on TV. I wasn't very good. You know, and I mean, can you really see that it's Jesus on that piece of rice? Because it was very small.
Is TV, or as you knew TV, as superficial as it seems?
Well, it depends on the management of the newsroom.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
And is that reflective of the GM?
I think it's the GM, the news director, and just the overall, you know, leadership in the station.
My perfect example of this is always like every Halloween, they'll go buy like a costume at like what would have been the equivalent of Kmart, and they'll hold it to open flame and go, "See, this burns." And you go, "Well, so does everything. I mean, if I hold my arm, it will burn too." That's what it feels like, except now it's on steroids.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of different competing entities trying to get your attention. And hopefully the news is at least, you know,
but they'll actual. Go, teacher arrested, you know, and then it's Ohio. You know, I mean, like that old trick of like trying to keep you through the commercial break because it feels like something you should know local, but it's not.
Well, and I used to write a lot of those teases, and I wrote them really well. When we're off the air, I'll tell you one that went really wrong one time.
Why off the air?
Because you'll understand.
Why off the air? You just deprived everyone of this story. I told them you're depriving it of.
You will understand.
Okay, let's do the break. When we get back, Dr. Juanita Morris will join the conversation a little later today. The Boy Scouts of America. We'll be back with more right after this. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Stay tuned. The magic is in our beans.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you tires and batteries, trust and care, because we get you. So get out on the road and stay safe with quality automotive parts and service at unbeatable prices. Right now, select tires or buy three, get one free. Your choice of Meguiar's new car scent, protectant wipes, or spray, just $5.99. Plus, doorbusters, like $130 instant savings on a DeWalt PowerStack starter kit with charger and two batteries included. Tires and batteries, trust and care at Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Hello, my name is Matt Beavers, President and CEO of First National Bank. I wanted to personally thank our customers for trusting FNB to be their bank of choice in Decatur. In our 4 years here, we've been fortunate to work with individuals and businesses alike on projects big and small. We're proud of our financial products and the quality of service our team provides. We're truly a local bank who stays involved throughout the project and who you can come see in person at either of our Decatur locations. Thank you on behalf of our team at First National Bank of Decatur.
First National Bank, the quality bank. Member FDIC, FNBquality.bank.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Hey ladies, get ready for a night of fun and golf. Join us at Overlook Adventure Park on May 9th for Playing 5 to 9, the ultimate ladies' night out. Grab your girlfriends and enjoy 18 holes of mini golf with some exciting perks along the way. Get ready for surprises, vendors, special treats, drinks, and appetizers on certain holes, making your mini golf experience even more enjoyable. Don't miss Playing 5 to 9 at Overlook Adventure Park on May 9th.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I know we had some windy weather, maybe a few storms overnight. Nothing quite like what was happening through Nebraska all the way to Missouri. Tornadoes leaving a trail of destruction. I think there were 83 tornadoes over the weekend in the Midwest making its way through.
Big ones. Did you see the video in Nebraska? Terrifying.
And as far as I know, as of this morning, four people, you know, lost their lives. And that's also a testament. We talk about the media. You remember how much more dangerous, I mean, tornadoes have always been equally dangerous, right. But the ability to communicate with people about safety today versus back in the day is what saves lives. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You see those videos of the destruction and the sheer size. Oh, my God. I mean, it makes a movie like Twister or something look exaggerated. And yet, four people, and that's tragic. But, I mean, when you think about all that went through there, I remember in 96, the back-to-back tornadoes that we had here, and it is still unbelievable to me to this day that no one lost their life when you drove through Home Park.
Right. Oh, it was the destruction.
Hillary Clinton was here. Do you remember the walkthrough?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah. Not sure what that was for.
You know, politicians show
symbolic.
Up, yeah. To, you know, show their support.
Yeah.
So
they generally take resources away from the stuff that's needed at the time. And here's the bad thing about the politicians, right? And we're to blame for this. We get mad at them if they don't show up.
Right.
But when they do show up, it's like, well, you're just an inconvenience. It's like, well, you got to pick a side here, one way or another, right?
Absolutely. But you're hoping that attention gets you federal money to help you get through it. So
Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, is in studios with us here today, along with Dr. Juanita Morris. How you doing? You're like all gussied up. What are you doing today?
Nothing. Working.
Okay, that's it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me like you had some big gig or something, you know, that you got going on.
I don't know.
She always has a big gig.
Do I?
Yeah. I went through, I got to tell you this is interesting to me. Last week, you and I were texting and I was in the middle of a DEI class. She didn't know that, and I didn't spend much time on the phone. I was paying attention. As part of my duties as a member of the Ronald McDonald Charities House of Central Illinois, we had a training, like a Teams meeting, which is always to me like I understand it's convenient, but it's. I don't get the same thing out of that as I do like an in-person thing, right? People aren't as comfortable to ask questions or respond. Yes. They had a chat thing, which was weird because it was anonymous, the chat thing.
That is strange.
I think they wanted people to be able to ask honest questions and not be like, you know, whatever. But you can tell when someone's typing.
The 3 dots.
So I thought that was a little different. I don't know why. Here's my takeaway from this. I do not understand what any of the letters of this or the words that they stand for or the conversation around the conversation makes people uncomfortable, nervous, mad, or whatever. I was warned about being triggered. It was like all this stuff. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But it's a thing, I guess.
A thing. Yeah.
You do this.
I do. Yep.
And is it uncomfortable when you do this?
For me, no. For others,
okay.
It is.
Walk me through that, because I'm trying to understand, as I sat there and they were giving me this sort of scripted warning kind of thing, I'm like, whoa.
I think part of the reason why it's uncomfortable for others or you have that exchange is because it's been weaponized, right? Mm. And so it's been used against people in lieu of or explanation of whether it's a termination or those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I also think that it's one of those things that we are sensitive about, because typically we're really talking about resources and how are we allocating resources. And oftentimes when we reallocate, we take something from one group
or it's perceived.
So
all right, fair enough.
That we weaponized it over time.
No, first of all, I'm not going to be that I'm not taking any blame for that. The politicians have weaponized it for sure. But here's the thing that just cracks me up about life. And this is a serious conversation that I'm not trying to make light of, but it's people's behavior. We are all still third graders. I mean, in life, you know, about sitting up front, about raising your hand, about like participating at all. Yeah. Well, I'll just turn my camera off. I mean, we really don't evolve much.
Well, we continue to do the same thing the same way.
Yeah.
Right.
Which means we don't evolve much.
Yeah. And so what you get is people who may or may not be as engaged, but then you go to the classrooms and it's that same thing. Sit up straight, pay attention, come to the front, make sure you do the things, but we're not evolving.
Yeah. The radio show, the big radio TV broadcasting thing was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. And I normally would have gone to that and I didn't go, and I'm God, I'm grateful. But you go to these things and it's like you go into a room and they've got all these great presenters and people won't sit up front.
Nope.
Why? As human beings, why don't we evolve? Like, I mean, so I will go sit in the front row to try to help because I'm going to make eye contact with that person and give them some feedback. You know, they're there to do their thing. And yet I see this and I watch, we had our normal board meeting, like regular board meeting, and then this training afterwards. And I watch camera go off, 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 off.
Yeah.
And these are pretty established folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, these aren't sort of, you know, people shy away from life.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was, I don't know. Why are we so afraid to communicate?
Yeah, I don't know. I go to the front only because of history.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, well, you can.
Right. History told us to sit in the back, and so I'm the exact opposite. But you're right. It's a ton of us who automatically fall to the back for whatever reason that is. Yeah. Not doing that one.
So I appreciate the folks who did this. I'd like to talk about with you about doing this. Yeah. I mean, because you do this.
I do this.
And I think I don't want things to be a box that is checked.
That's right.
And so much of in life, and you know, with government mm-hmm. and bureaucracy, this is like, you know, we have requirements to fill out EEOC things and whatever. And so often that feels like a throwaway kind of thing of like just checking a mm-hmm. box.
Yep.
And I'm not interested at this stage in my life in checking boxes, right?
No. You just got here?
Yeah.
What?
No, I'm just saying I'm more interested in results and investing my time in something that's actually going to make a difference or change something or be better at something than just checking a box.
Yeah.
And I've always thought about consultants, and please don't take this the wrong way if you're a consultant. This is going to be near you, maybe not right at you. Woody Allen had the joke, you know, years ago that, you know, those that can't do teach and those that can't teach, teach Jim. And I would take that one step further about consultants because there's this thing that they in a world they live in that really isn't the real world, but it's kind of adjacent to the real world. If you had to tell somebody like why to embrace the thought process about doing things in a different way and really be about diversity and really be about inclusion and really be about equity and what those things mean, what would that message be?
I think for me, the message would actually be that not only are we better because we have diverse thought, we can see it in action when we are all inclusive. That is how we disrupt systems. That is how we shift culture. That is how we grow companies. That is how we impact kids in classrooms and all of the things, is that when we have a group of people at a table who are very different, whether it's gender, ethnicity, age, all of the things, not just black and white.
Yeah, we tend to boil it down to that, right?
We synthesize it and we say it's just black and white. When we really do that, the outcomes look very different. And it's typically the outcomes that you and I really want to see and that we fight for.
Yeah. So I think that's right. And I think that, you know, as people, and you know this, you're in the bureaucracy now, right?
Yep.
As a mayor.
I mean, right
you're
there.
You're right in the middle of it. And the politics and the everything else. Yeah. It matters. You know, we were down at the Makerspace thing at the public library, and I was talking to Sam Johnson, the guy I've known for a long, long time, you know, who was an architect. But when you talk about architects, you talk about people that make things, they don't have the same brain pattern. I mean, they're not geniuses in school. They're often not great in school.
Right.
But they tore things apart as a kid, and all the signs of like, why are you destroying that toy? Well, they were trying to figure out how it was built, right? And, mm-hmm. and they just test different, and they're not on a chart that would show you genius, but they build these incredible things.
Yeah.
And so if you looked at it in this status quo way of how here's how we keep score, they wouldn't be at the top
mm-hmm.
as kids. But we send 7,000 kids through a public school system and expect them all to test the same, think the same, do the same. It's unrealistic.
And to even like sit in their chair.
Yeah.
And not take the long way from, you know, the teacher's desk back to their chair. They should, you know, color in the lines. Which how many artists do you know that color in the lines?
Yeah.
You ought to be in a room with Dr. Morris when a baby cries and someone goes, shh.
Best kept secret.
Slap down from the stage.
Yeah.
Because we're just not, that's not who we are as people. We don't fit into a box.
We don't.
None of us do.
And that's the equity and inclusion. Yeah. How do we make sure we fold those people in who see it differently, feel it differently, will take the outskirts to get to wherever, the long route, mm-hmm. right? How do we fold them into the conversation to build the things and do the things? That's how we change the world.
All right. You know, it's interesting to me. I was looking at the blessing of the bikes yesterday, which was out at Kazire Harley-Davidson. And we all in our minds, I think, stereotype groups, right? I mean, there's just, you see like Harley-Davidson guys, right? I mean, the tattoos, the big, the like the outfits. You just, I mean, I say it and you see a picture in your head, right? And then there's such a dichotomy when you look at these people praying over each other, you know, with the same gentle sort of kind of thing that you would see in a church on a Sunday. And you juxtapose it with the imagery and you go, man, we're all basically the same, right? Even though we just identify so differently across the board. But when you see moments like that, they come together and you go, well, that's the exact opposite of what the stereotype is.
It is. It is.
And I say did a brilliant job, by the way, capturing that in photos. You can check out the photo gallery on our Facebook page. These young men and women are working for you.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to get geared up for a whole summer. Mayor, what's this mean? I mean, when people like this, and you have to support this because it's working, what does that mean for a community at large when we've got a lot of work to do in workforce development in a lot of areas about doing all the things we have just talked about? What does that mean to you as mayor, and what do we do as a community to be better about that?
Well, I think we have to really look at things differently. You know, as workforce is a primary, you know, it's a prime example because it used to be when people wanted a job, they'd read about, you know, they'd see an ad in the paper that this company is hiring and you had to go fit that box. And that's not how people find out about jobs anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of trust that needs to be built among, you know, some of our more impoverished part of our community that this really is an opportunity for you. And we can help get you to that next level of, you know, what are your barriers? Is it a childcare issue? Is it a transportation issue? We can fix some of those things, but trying to get people in the door.
But we saw during the closure of the pharmaceutical company, when that happened, it was abundantly clear to me that the system didn't work for people. Yeah. You know, there were 8 million questions, and that meant 8 million websites and 8 million different contacts, and no one had all the information. There was no...
It wasn't easy for anybody.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. And we quickly sort of saw, like, okay, our role in this can be to be connective tissue, to sort of compile all this information into one place where at least people had a starting point. What do I do about my insurance? What do I do about, you know, X, Y, or Z? And it was so clear to me that how many silos were out there that were not communicating with each other.
But
and that's not meant to be criticism. Right. It's just, it was the reality.
On the side of that, there was that core group of us, and it probably because of COVID and having to do things differently, we were able to make some phone calls. And it's like, you know, you guys got on board. Everybody got a Milliken saying, well, we've got a job fair tomorrow for our kids, but anybody from Acorn is welcome. They don't need a resume. I mean, things that, you know, those folks had, you know, they've worked there 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that easy to just throw a resume together. I mean, if I had to do one today, I'd struggle.
Yeah. but we even, the communication level of all the different things, it's like, man, we're not very good at this.
And now, we should be. We should be.
So we've got the recipe. We know what that looks like. 400 jobs lost overnight. Yeah. And how do you get to these people? How do we move forward, put the resources we need to put forward to programs like the Civic Leadership Institute for others? How do we bring all that together as a community and pull in the same direction?
Well, pull in the same direction and figure out how to really reach that population and get them engaged and involved. And
but that population is several populations.
Yes.
I mean, you guys spent a lot of money doing a study. Howard spent a lot of money doing a study. If you lay those two over each other, it's basically the same message. We got three pools of people that are all very different.
Right.
There's crossover amongst all of them. But you've got people who are working, but not to their full potential.
Right. Absolutely.
You've got people who are in poverty that have been a part of a system that it's hard for them to trust, and they've lost trust. as you mentioned earlier. You've got other people. I mean, you know, so we've identified who and where and what they are. What do we do next?
I think for us, here's what's happened is that we started the intern program in summer 21 with 7, and now it has grown into a full year program, and we have more than 20 young folks. And so this sweet spot for us between 15 and 24, because we have a couple of 15-year-olds that are killing it. What's happened is that we have created a space for them to develop a skill, but we also serve as the bridge and the connecting piece, even in terms of helping them to navigate the culture inside of organizations because they are young and because sometimes they are misunderstood and because they communicate different. And so our task has been for the past 12 months is to bridge that gap between our young folks who are actively and solely and wholly employed 20 hours a week because they're in school with the major employers. And what I'm finding is that now employers, because we've been talking about it for a year now employers are starting to reach out and connect. But our kids are killing it, but they need some support. And it's not always like our adults may need childcare, transportation. Mm-hmm. Our young folks need opportunity and the ability to figure out how to maneuver inside of a space that may or may not be reflective of them.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.